This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're spending this Christmas Eve edition reviewing the year in movies and music. With me is Fresh Air's rock critic, Ken Tucker. He's also a critic at large for Entertainment Weekly. After we talk about the year in music, he'll run down his 10 best list. Ken, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's start with something fun.
Outkast put out a big double album. The huge hit single from this is a song called Hey Ya. It's a tremendously fun, catchy, just irresistible song.
And why is this on your list?
It's on my list because I think it's a kind of bridge between cutting-edge hip-hop and old-fashioned rock aesthetics. The idea of releasing a double album, these two guys who head up Outkast, Andre Benjamin and Antoine Patton, they just have tremendous ambition. And they made the video of Hey Ya. I don't know if you've seen it, but it reproduces an old Ed Sullivan-style TV show where Andre is singing and playing every single part, and girls are screaming in the audience. And it's a kind of visual metaphor that evokes Beatlemania, and it signals the desire to the audience, I think, that this is a big mass audience appeal act. They want to be as big as the Beatles. And I just found Outkast's open-hearted, open-throated ambition just wonderfully charming, and this particular song just so thrilling.
Let's hear it. This is Outkast, Hey Ya.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
That's Outkast, and my guest is Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker. We're talking about the year in pop music. One of the things I really love about that track is that, well, it's so much fun. And there's so much of hip-hop music that just isn't fun. It's really like serious, and it's about like heavy points and heavy things. And it's just so delightful to hear something that's pure fun.
I think so, yeah. It's just a real example of how joyful the music can be. I think also Hey Ya is an example of a song that typifies something that's happening right now. When my 14-year-old daughter saw the video, she loves this song, she listens to it, and I said, hey, you know, Outkast has this great new double CD, you know, you want to listen to this? And she said, no, I'm just interested in that song. And it brought home to me something, which was that we're living in the age of the hit single again. In a sense, we're back to the 50s in a certain way, and it's due to things like downloading off the internet, the use of the iPod, people downloading songs, putting them on, making their own kind of mixtapes themselves and listening to it. And it really signals a kind of shift, I think, away from this concept that we've had for a couple of decades now of the artist, the album as the primary unit of creativity in rock and roll.
How is that affecting the way music is getting released?
Well, it gets released in different ways for different artists. Certainly when you have somebody like Bruce Springsteen, who still thinks of what he does as he releases The Rising, you know, it's a complete statement. You have to sit down and listen to it from beginning to end to have the proper experience. But in the case of other artists, there are just many people who just want to put out as many punchy hit singles as they can. I also think that the CD was very detrimental in this kind of eroding of the album as a coherent statement, in the sense that with the CD you could put a lot more music onto a CD. And so for now the past 10, 15 years, artists have just felt obliged, rather than put their best 12 songs as they used to do on an album, they now have to put, you know, 15, 16, 17 songs, and it leads to, you know, you end up literally putting a lot of your outtakes, stuff that you would leave on the cutting room floor, onto a CD. And so the CD, CD was a ripoff from day one. You know, it's like the record companies overcharged. They always overstated the fact of how much it cost to manufacture CDs. Once it became apparent that CD was now, everybody had, they'd made their profit. They'd plundered the record public. Everybody had to switch over from albums to CDs. They'd made their profits that way. They never lowered the prices of CDs until very, very recently and very, very begrudgingly. So when you combine all that, this is a kind of revolt of the consumer. The consumer says, I want the music my way. I want to hear this song, and I want to hear this song by this other artist right next to it. So I'll make my own mixtape on my iPod, burn a CD myself, that kind of thing.
Have you found that you're listening to music differently?
Definitely. I mean, like taking a cue from my teenage daughter, tend to download things. Here's a good example of it, a song I'd like to play, in fact. There's an act called the Black Eyed Peas, whose albums I haven't really cared for very much in the past. But they have a song called Where's the Love, which they did with Justin Timberlake as a guest star on it. And I think it's a terrific little song, but it's the song on the album to have, and that's it.
Why don't we hear it?
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. This is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
It's the Black Eyed Peas with Justin Timberlake. My guest is Fresh Air Rock critic Ken Tucker, and we're talking about the year in music. Well, that was a pretty political rap that we just heard, and it's been a political year in a lot of pop music.
It has been. As you heard in that song, you know, references to the war overseas, many people perceive as still war at home. Early in the year, I think these pop years come out, seem like eons ago, but there was that Dixie Chicks controversy toward the beginning of the year when the Dixie Chicks criticized President Bush's policy in Iraq, which in turn was responded to by a very big country act, Toby Keith, who had a hit song called Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, which was subtitled The Angry American. And Toby Keith's new album is called Shock and Y'all. Never one for subtlety, Mr. Keith. Putting politics aside, I mean, I think that the Dixie Chicks put out a better album because it's better music. Toby Keith, you know, has written a couple of good, you know, fun novelty songs. One of the songs he has on his new album is called Weed with Willie, that's all about the potency of Willie Nelson's marijuana. You know, it's a kind of a fun novelty song.
Speaking of Willie Nelson, he had a CD this year of some of his demo recordings that you gave an excellent review to. Where does that fit in your year-end review?
This is really my favorite record of the year. I think it's, even though it has music on it that's 40 years old, the album's called Crazy, The Demo Sessions. And it's an album that has an extraordinary story to it in the sense that Willie Nelson was in his 20s. He was a Texan. He was married with three children. He moved to Nashville, tried to make it as a songwriter. Everybody said to him, songs are pretty good, but not you singing them because your voice is flat and kind of tuneless. But you listen to these demos, which are recorded often just with Willie and his acoustic guitar or Willie in a very small backup band. And the songs are extraordinarily moving. His voice, his very stark, unadorned voice, is really very striking. And he's writing songs that were, even now, very, very complicated emotionally, much more so than just, you know, my baby left me kinds of songs. The song I'd like to play is called Something to Think About. And when you listen to it, well, listen to the lyric, and we'll talk a bit about it when we come out of it.
Yeah, great.
One thing I would have you do, please consider the dawn. dawn of your lonely years, when youth and beauty are gone, and when you can no longer have any sweetheart you choose. Here's something to think about. I'll still be thinking of you.
Now, just think about what's being said in that song. There's this sentiment that he's always going to be in love with this woman who's dumped him, and that what he's asking her to do is to think about years from now, when your looks have been ravaged by age, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be thinking about you. It's a sentiment you just don't hear anywhere in popular music, let alone in the teen pop that so much dominates right now. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful song.
My guest is our rock critic, Ken Tucker, who is also a critic at large for Entertainment Weekly. And we're talking about the year in pop music. We just heard from a veteran, Willie Nelson. Let's talk about teen pop. And it seems like a lot of the teenagers who became stars are getting older already.
They are.
I wonder what's happening to them and to their audiences as both the original audience and the performer ceases to be kids anymore.
Well, that's the challenge, is to try to bring them along. And I think a lot of teenagers, as they now get older, move into hip-hop, and that's also true of these artists. I mean, I think Justin Timberlake had the kind of surprisingly credible solo debut album. He was a member of NSYNC. And he has put aside a lot of that kind of teen pop melodies and ventured much more forcefully into hip-hop with, surprisingly positive response both from his audience and from other hip-hop artists. And certainly, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera have tried to do it, but no one as successfully as Justin Timberlake. I think in part because he comes from the South, he comes from Memphis, and he has a real sense of history. He had a TV special around Thanksgiving, poorly rated, but he had Al Green on, and Al Green told me that his mother is neighbors with Justin Timberlake's mother. And so they've known each other for years and years and years. And so it was very natural for Justin to invite Al Green on. He's got a sense of history, and you can hear it when he sings. In particular, a song like that became a hit called Cry Me a River.
Why don't we hear it? This is Justin Timberlake.
You were my sun. You were my earth. You didn't know all the ways I loved you. Took a chance, made of a plan, but I bet you didn't think that they would come crashing down. No,
you don't have to say what's the game. I already know. I found out my plan. There's just no chance for you and me. They'll never be.
And don't it make you sad about it?
You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone?
That's Justin Timberlake. My guest is Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker, and we're talking about the year in music. Is it acceptable for you to like Justin Timberlake? Do people mock you when you say you like Justin Timberlake, or does he have
more
cred now?
Oh boy, do they mock. No. A guy like me is not supposed to. You're a serious rock critic. It's the age old thing. Rock critics have been suffering from this for liking what's actually popular, what a good segment of the audience likes for years and years and years.
Well, Justin Timberlake represents a kind of very commercial teen pop, a very heartthrob rock. What about the less commercial side of rock? What do you want to say about the year in in that part of the music.
Well, there it was a tremendously good year for this kind of pop rock that in the past has always been very much a cult thing since the 60s. There's always been bands who want to kind of hark back to those kinds of 2-3 minute fast, quick, got a vocal hook in it and make their point and scram kind of music. This year you had bands like Fountains of Wayne, The Strokes, The Shins, The Yeah Yeah Yeahs. You know, it's amazing how many good bands came around this year. The New Pornographers, all these bands that I reviewed on the show, The High Strung, and my favorite three that kind of are rhyming trio, The Thrills, The Kills, and The Stills. But the Fountains of Wayne, I think, put out the best record of the year, and the song I'd like to play from that, it's called Welcome Interstate Managers is the name of the album, and the song that I'd like to play from that is called Bright Future in Sales.
Party, now I don't remember where I'm from. I think I had a black wallet in my back pocket with a bus ticket and a picture of my baby inside. And if I make it home alive, I'm gonna get my shit together.
Fountains of Wayne. My guest is Fresh Air's rock critic Ken Tucker, and we're talking about the year in pop music. Ken, I have to tell you, I heard this in the drugstore. I mean, just as a sign that like they've actually caught on into the commercial market.
Yeah, I mean, Fountains of Wayne is the only one of those groups that I've named that really broke through. I mean, they had a hit single with Stacy's Mom, which, you know, is a very catchy song, which, you know, I just wonder how many kids listening to it really realize what it's about. But, it had a video that got played on MTV, and it really broke through. So jolly good for them.
Do you think that a lot of the young bands, like a lot of like the retro rock bands and a lot of like even the hip-hop groups and stuff have listened to their parents' used to listen to their parents' records when they were growing up, and that what we're hearing in a lot of pop music now is the influence of parents' record collections?
Definitely. I think that that's a good point. You talk to any, you read any interview with these bands, and a lot of them just have, they just know chapter and verse everything from, you know, Aretha Franklin to the, you know, early pop bands, the Everly Brothers. They know those harmonies, they know those records in a way that a lot of the audience doesn't, in a way because the audience doesn't hear it on the radio. And so unless they have access or interest in their parents' record collections, they just don't explore this music.
My guest is our rock critic, Ken Tucker, who's also a critic at large for Entertainment Weekly. And we're talking about the year in pop music. Well, let's look at the year in hip-hop. Is there any one performer or one record that really stands out for you?
Yes, 50 Cent, or as I've been corrected by so many of your listeners, I'm supposed to say 50 Cent. doesn't that trip off my tongue smoothly? Really put out, I think, the single of the year in hip-hop, this absolutely inescapable and who would want to escape it, called a song called In the Club. It had there's a whole element of hip hop this year that derived from the Deep South. There's a new genre called crunk, typified by a lot of 50 Cent's work and a group called Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, and it's kind of what we're talking about. Deep influence by George Clinton's P-Funk, combined with hardcore hip-hop and rap. And it makes for a kind of much more, it's still harsh, still hard, but also the rhythms are much more kind of easy rolling a lot of the time. And the vocals are slurred in this very, very attractive way. I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in the rhythm of the song. And I think In the Club is a very good example of that.
Here's 50 Cent.
Go, 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 shorty.
it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a f. That's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz.
That's 50 Cent. My guest is Ken Tucker, Fresh Air's rock critic. You want to talk about the most overrated record of the year?
Yes, it's Joss Stone's The Soul Sessions, he said with great firmness and finality. You know, last year to me, the overrated person was Norah Jones. This year it's Joss Stone. You know, I'm sure she's a very nice 16-year-old British woman who, you know, the hype was, listen to this record. You're not going to believe it's by a white British girl. She sounds just like Aretha Franklin. And it's like, well, yes, but you have to add something of yourself to that. I mean, she surrounded herself with a lot of veteran soul singers. The soul singer Betty Wright was literally her vocal coach on this album. And it just kind of breaks my heart because Betty Wright still sounds great. And it's too bad that she can't put out albums that, you know, can get as much airplay as Joss Stone did. I saw Joss Stone perform in a club, and she had three black backup singers. And I could swear that every time they approached the microphone to sing the refrain, they kind of cut their eyes at Joss, like, "There but for the grace of your skin goes me." I think it's a classic example of the novelty of a white singer sounding black coming. You know, this is the history of so much popular music. But it really drove me up the wall a lot of times when I would hear this praise for Joss Stone.
So what do you think is behind her success? Do you think that she's actually tapping into something, or do you think it's just brilliant marketing?
I think she taps into a certain thirst that older listeners, baby boomers, have to hear good old-fashioned soul music, certainly. But there's also,
I mean, like, it reaffirms, like, oh, here's a 16-year-old who loves what I love.
Yes.
That's affirming.
Yes. And also just the fact that she's white is more comforting. They can relate in some way more fully to Joss Stone in a way that they can't to a new young black singer coming up.
Should we play this or should we skip it, Ken?
Let's skip it, shall we? She gets enough attention elsewhere.
Okay. Ken, we'll all feel cheated unless you give us your 10 best list, even though we're not playing excerpts from all 10 of those records. Would you just run through the list for us? And we'll also put it on our website.
Okay, great. The albums are, in this order, Willie Nelson's Crazy, The Demo Sessions, Outkast's Speaker Box, The Love Below, The White Stripes, the album called Elephant, Fountains of Wayne's Welcome Interstate Managers, Macy Gray, a terribly underrated album this year called The Trouble with Being Myself. The High Strung, These Are the Good Times, and Blue, an album called Redhead. Both of those part of that pop rock trend I was talking to you about. Liz Phair's album, which she called Liz Phair, great comeback that not enough people got into. A fairly recent record that I'm just getting into and just absolutely loving, a brother and sister duo called The Fiery Furnaces. The album is called Gallows Birds Bark. And number 10, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, Come Poop With Me, which I just think is a wonderful throwback. It's the best comedy album since, before Bob Newhart, before maybe a Red Fox album that I can't think of the title of.
That dog has a future in show business.
He really does. And rap.
Well, again, that'll be on our website, which is at freshair.com. Ken Tucker, thank you for being here. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you, Terry. Thanks.
Ken Tucker is Fresh Air's rock critic and critic at large for Entertainment Weekly.